Our scripture reading today comes from the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, and I'll be reading the verses 18 through 25. Matthew chapter 1, the verses 18 through 25. Let us hear the reading of God's holy and inerrant word. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. He had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. That's the reading of God's word this morning. 2 years ago, I preached to you a sermon on the first part of Matthew chapter 1. It was on the genealogy. Perhaps some of you remember that sermon. That was one of my first sermons that I preached when I came here. And during that sermon, we took a hard look at this genealogy in chapter 1, and we saw how beautifully God had put this genealogy together. Verse 17 tells us that there are 14 generations, all from Abraham to David, 14 from David to the exile, and 14 from the exile to the Christ. Here in this genealogy you see three sets of 14. And the number 7 in Hebrew is the perfect number, and here we have three sets of 14, which means this is twice perfect. And this genealogy, which is twice perfect, which God has written with His word, with His hand, is also a genealogy which covers the three periods of Israelite history. Abraham to King David, David to the exile, and the exile to the Christ. This is a beautiful piece of work. And if you look at verse 1, it says this is a record of the genealogy. And this genealogy also is a word that refers to Genesis. And so as we look this morning at the birth of a new creation, which is the title of my sermon, we have to go back to the book of Genesis and see how Matthew chapter 1 is really a reflection on Genesis as a new creation. Go back to Genesis chapter 1. In Genesis chapter 1, what do we have? 7 days of creation. 7 days of creation ordered in a beautiful form of Hebrew poetry, in a beautiful creation. This is about the most beautiful Hebrew poetry you would ever find. This is God's creation. It is a perfect creation. It is a beautiful creation. It is a complete creation as it was in 7 days. And if you look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, look what it says. "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, over all the creatures that move along the ground.' So God created man in his image, and in the image of God he created him, male and female he created them. God blessed them and said to them, 'Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves along the ground.' Then God said, 'I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it, and they will be yours for food, and all the beasts of the earth and all the birds of the air and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food.' And it was so. On the sixth day, God creates man and woman. But there isn't a lot of detail about how God created man and woman, is there? There isn't a lot of detail. There is some details given. There is details that he created them and what they were are to do. But there isn't details given about how he created them. And that's why God gave us chapter 2 of Genesis. Chapter 1 describes the beauty of God's creation. It is 7 days. It is perfect. It is a beautiful creation. In chapter 2 of Genesis, we read the story, and many of you have headings, about Adam and Eve and how God created Adam and how God took the rib from Adam and he created this beautiful woman, Eve, for him. He gave Adam a helper. Well, you see the pattern here. This is God's first creation. There is a beautiful creation described, and then when it comes to the story of Adam and Eve, of man and woman, and how they were created, God gives a commentary in chapter 2 to describe it. Well, now go back to Matthew chapter 1. And what you see in Matthew chapter 1 is, again, 14 generations, each divided up into three. This is God's plan. This is God's plan throughout history, throughout the history of the Old Testament, of this new creation he was about to create. And as you're reading along, you read, you know, as it says in verse 2, Abraham was the father of Isaac, Isaac the father of Jacob. And you go down the line, and everybody was a father of somebody else. But notice what happens in verse 16. And Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. When it comes to the end of this creation also, there needs to be more information added. Jacob was the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. It says Jacob was the father of Joseph, but then it doesn't say Joseph, the father of Christ. In this new creation, in this New Testament age, the Old Testament has been fulfilled. All of these names listed in the Old Testament point to a new creation, point to the coming of Christ. There is no more names after Christ. It all ends with Christ. This is the beginning of the New Testament. This is the beginning of a new age. And it ends with us asking questions. How was this Jesus born? How could he be called Jesus the Son of David if he wasn't, as it says from all the others, Joseph the father of Jesus? And the other question then that we raise is, who was the Father? Well, the Father, we believe, was God. But it doesn't tell us here. So Matthew, following the pattern of the first creation, in this new creation, gives us a commentary. Do you see that? That's what verses 18 through 25 are all about. Matthew has described the creation. This is God's creation, 14 generations in three successive periods, and now it all leads to a new creation, which is Christ. But there are questions when we come to the end, when we come to the birth of the second Adam. We had the first Adam, and it was further described. Now we come to the second Adam, and in this section of Matthew, the second Adam and his birth has to be described. The structure of this section is set up as such. In verses 18 and 19 of Matthew chapter 1, we learn sort of an introduction. The things are put out for us to seek to understand. In verses 20 through 21, the author answers the question how Jesus was the Son of David. In verses 22 through 23, the author answers the question, how is Jesus the Son of God? And finally, at the end, we learn of Joseph's obedience. This is the structure of our passage, and this is the structure of the new creation this morning. Let's look at verse 18. It says, this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. Now again, as we look at that first verse, we see the connection with the previous section of Matthew 1. This is how the birth, the Greek word is genesis, This is how the beginning of Jesus Christ came about. That comes from chapter 1, verse 1. A record of the beginning of Jesus Christ, the Son of David. He's filling it out further, what we learned in chapter 1. And look what he says. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. His mother, Jesus' mother Mary, as it says, was pledged to be married to Joseph. Now, when we see the reading there, and some of you have different wording, it shows us that the word used in the Greek doesn't quite totally cover all the things that we need to understand in the Hebrew. Just as when we translate it into the English, it doesn't quite fit in our modern day to what is going on here. But Mary was betrothed to her husband Joseph. Now, what does that mean, to be betrothed? That means that in those days, Joseph and Mary had to first publicly declare that they were going to get married. Joseph, I'm going to get married to you. Joseph says he's going to get married to Mary. And according to the law, they were as good as married. But yet they still didn't live together. She was still living with her father for a period of time until the right time came where both families believed that they were ready to finally come together and live in the same home. Well, this is the state of Mary and Joseph. They are pledged to be married. They are not married yet, but according to the law, they are as good as married. And according to the law, that if someone, since they are as good as married, if the bride would be found to be with child, it would be considered adultery. She could be accused of committing adultery against her husband. So much so was she pledged to be married to Joseph. But now notice what it says about them. They're betrothed, and it says that before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Before they came together as husband and wife, suddenly they discover that Mary has a child. But notice what Matthew adds. Notice what our author adds. With child through the Holy Spirit. You see, the people in the story, Joseph, doesn't even know that yet. Joseph doesn't know that Mary has a child through the Holy Spirit. The angel hasn't appeared to him yet. But so careful is Matthew, so careful is God in describing the birth of his son, they quickly add for us, the reader, through the Holy Spirit. He doesn't want us to at all question what Joseph is questioning in his mind. I am pledged to be married to Mary. Now she's pregnant. I think I should divorce her. This is what's going through Joseph's mind. We're not allowed to think that. It said, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Well, now our question is, how is Joseph going to respond to this? This is something that God has done. How is Joseph going to respond to this situation? Well, verse 19 tells us further. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Now it tells us that Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man. And there are many different things written today about what this means that Joseph was a righteous man. Some people think that Joseph, when it says he was a righteous man, he was righteous because he had compassion for Mary. Joseph had all the rights in the world to say to Mary, Mary, you have committed adultery against me, and to take it publicly and to clear his name. Joseph had all the rights in the world to do that, to expose her to public disgrace. And he would have to go as the husband before the elders and before all the people and show to them what Mary had done and clear his own name. And so Joseph wants to clear his name and he's thinking about divorcing her quietly. But some people say, no, Joseph was righteous. And because Joseph was righteous, he had compassion for Mary and he wasn't going to publicly disgrace her, but do this quietly. Well, other people think that Joseph was righteous because he was obedient to the law. Joseph was someone who was faithfully obedient to the law, and this is why in Matthew 19 they describe him as righteous. Well, the answer is that it tells us later. So we're not going to learn right now at this point why it declares Joseph is righteous. But we're going to see that as we work through our passage this morning. And so let's go on as Joseph is thinking this through in his mind of how he is going to divorce Mary. Verse 20, look what happens. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Here is Joseph. He is a carpenter. Joseph is not someone who has an extremely high reputation in the community. Joseph is not one who has done a lot for Israel. Joseph is a simple carpenter. And all of a sudden, his wife, his pledged to be married wife, Mary, is found to be with child. And so Joseph's thinking what to do, and what happens to this simple man, Joseph? An angel of the Lord appears to him. Angels haven't appeared on the scene for some 400, 500 years in the history of Israel. It's been hundreds of years since angels have come into this world and appeared to God's people. And Joseph is having this dream, and suddenly God appears to Joseph. And what does God say to Joseph? Joseph, son of David. Now remember, the question being answered in this section is this: how does Jesus become a son of David? God has always promised that Jesus is going to come from the line of David. God had promised David that someday a king out of his line would come who would be a savior for the world. What does God call Joseph? Joseph, son of David. And he goes on and he says, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. Do not be afraid of the public disgrace that you might have to endure if you take Mary home as your wife. She is with child. People are going to look at you and they're going to say, how could you do that? She is unclean. How could you go and take this Mary home and be your husband? And people, he will be up to himself enduring public disgrace. And not only that, is that there are people who are probably going to believe that Joseph himself is guilty with this. He may, by be taking Mary home as his wife, enduring his own public disgrace. But here it says, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. And what does it say? Because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. The Greek word there is not conceived in her. The Greek word there is begets. Now remember, we've been going through this genealogy, and it says, Zerubbabel begets Abihud. Abihud begets Eliakim. And all through the list, it's so-and-so begets so-and-so, and so-and-so begets so-and-so. And then when we come to the end, it says, Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called the Christ. Well, who is the one who begets Christ? This is the answer in the commentary. See what it says? Because what is beget in her is from the Holy Spirit. God himself has beget the Christ. God himself has beget Jesus the Son. Joseph, God is going to send a Savior. And what does it say in verse 21? She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. When Joseph gives him the name Jesus, he is claiming the son as his own. Anytime a father gave the name to the child, the father was identifying the child with himself. He was identifying the child as his own son. And so the angel tells him, when she gives birth, you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. What does this mean? This is how Jesus is the Son of David. Remember the question we were asking in Matthew 1, verse 16? How does Jesus become the Son of David? Jesus wasn't born from Joseph. God answers it. An angel appears and he tells Joseph, name him Jesus. And when Joseph names him Jesus, he becomes the Son of David. Well, now we have another question to answer yet. If Joseph adopts Jesus himself as his son, and that's legally how he becomes his son, now what happens with Jesus being the Son of God? Well, that's what verse 22 and 23 deals with. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. You can see in your footnote that this is a quotation from Isaiah 7, verse 14, a prophecy that was written some 700 years before. Here are the Israelites. They have been unfaithful to God. They have been unfaithful to Him as they're living their lives. And God writes a promise that 700 years in the future, a virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. God's hope 700 years ago that this indeed would take place. Mary would be with child by the Holy Spirit. 700 years ago, this prophecy was given. The prophecy is given, and Joseph knows the prophecy. Joseph knows that this must be fulfilled. Joseph knows that this must be fulfilled. So how does Joseph respond? When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Joseph has to make a decision. He was supposed to get married to Mary. Now he finds that Mary's expecting. Now an angel appears to him, and this angel tells him that he needs to still take Mary home as his wife and risk public disgrace, and that also he is to name this child and adopt him as his own. And how does Joseph respond? He does what the angel of the Lord commanded him. Mary comes home as his wife, and he gives him the name Jesus. How is Joseph a righteous man? Is Joseph righteous because he has kept the commands of God? Is Joseph righteous because he feels sorry for Mary? Joseph is righteous by faith. In the book of Romans, we read that Abraham was righteous by his faith. It's been 700 years since this prophecy was given that the virgin would be birthed by a child, or this virgin would be with child and give birth to a son. 700 years since this prophecy is given. It's been 400 years since any kind of angel or revelation has appeared to anyone in Israel. And here is Joseph, this carpenter, and suddenly this angel appears to him and he tells him, Joseph, endure public disgrace by taking your wife home. And Joseph, call him Jesus. And how does Joseph respond? Joseph doesn't run away. Joseph doesn't disbelieve and say, no, this can't be. Joseph doesn't believe all the doubts. Joseph responds with obedience. And why does Joseph respond with obedience? Verse 21. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Jesus, Joshua, Jesus, the Savior. Jesus is the birth of a new creation. And Joseph knows that he needs a Savior also. He knows that he has to have faith in God and believe that this little baby inside the womb of Mary is going to be the Savior. And Joseph knows that he also needs a Savior. Joseph knows that this Jesus is going to save his people from their sins. What about our faith at this Christmas? Here is a new creation that God has described in Matthew chapter 1. The birth of a Savior. For Joseph to believe that his wife was with child from God. To believe that this was all God's working and that this child was going to be the Savior of the world. For Joseph, it took faith. What about us? Joseph can hold the baby and he can know that this baby is going to be his Savior. And he can believe that this baby is going to be his Savior. He trusts God and he knows that God's ways are God's ways. He trusts that whatever he must go through in this life, this is God's plan. What about our Savior? Christ. As Joseph endured persecution, we face disbelief. To believe that Jesus was born of a virgin is not believed by a lot of people in our day. To believe that Jesus was the Savior of the world, not a lot of people believe that in our day. But we believe it by faith. We believe that God has saved us. We believe that God has sent his Son. We believe that this Jesus is our Savior. And we look to him as our hope. And as the author of this new creation, Jesus has brought us unto himself. He becomes the King of Kings. We become his people that he has died for, that he has bought. He, this Jesus, God with us on this earth, is our Savior. Amen. Father in heaven, this morning as we look at Joseph, we see, Lord, what faith it took for him to know that this was from you and to see how you, Lord, gave Jesus into this world as your own Son. And also as the Son of David. And Lord, we rejoice at the birth of Christ. We rejoice that we can also believe him as our Savior by faith. And Lord, sometimes as we struggle in life, we wonder if you really did send a Savior. We wonder, Lord, if you really brought him into this world to save us. Lord, help us to trust that Jesus is our Savior. Help us grow in our strength even more, to know that he has saved us, to know that he has bought us unto ourselves. And Lord, may we know also that without Christ we have no hope. And Lord, as a member of this new creation, as a church which loves Christ, we pray, Lord, that you would strengthen us daily to know and to live for him. And Lord, as we celebrate this Christmas time, help us to always remember that without Christ, there is no Christmas. Without the Son, there is no hope. We pray this all, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.